Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the 12th Sunday after Trinity comes from our gospel reading of Mark. And taking the deaf man aside from the crowd privately, Jesus put his fingers into his ears and after spitting touched his tongue. And looking up into heaven, he sighed and said to them, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one, but the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Thus far the text. He has done all things well, this Jesus of Nazareth. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. What can't this Jesus do? What miracle can't he perform? He's already walked on water. He's fed 5,000 people. A little bit later, he's going to feed 4,000 more, and he's going to heal a blind man. This guy is certainly something else, this Jesus, isn't he? He does things that no one else can do, and it's quite the astonishing thing. Even if he doesn't want his fame to spread, and for the word of this miracle to get out, it's still a pretty astounding event. In secret, Jesus does this miracle as if it's only for the deaf and mute man personally. As if Jesus isn't concerned with his popularity or for his name to be written in the bright billboard lights of the Decapolis. No crowd for this miracle, just the man and Jesus. Miracles for the masses, they've come before, and certainly they're going to come again, but this one is done differently. It's done in secret, as if Jesus doesn't want anyone to know about it. But sinful men have a difficult time keeping secrets, even when those secrets are just stupid and unimportant things. How much more so this great and miraculous miracle? So word gets out, and people are astonished. The astonishment for Jesus grows and grows. He's astonishing because, well, he's different than all the rest, from you and me, it would appear, doing things that shouldn't be done for reasons that nobody can really and truly figure out. It's beyond all of our comprehension. He charges nothing for his work, not before, not after. He just does these things. He just goes around speaking these words and teaching these teachings as if for no other reason than the fact that he has compassion for people that he has no earthly reason to have compassion for. He's an odd duck, this Jesus guy. But then certainly there is a reason for that, I would suppose. But that reason seems to be lost on most of his audiences. And even more so when news comes at second or even third hand. When news gets out of this deaf and mute man, now he's going around speaking and hearing. When that news is now heard, it's astonishing. It was astonishing to the point of fear, kind of like when a hurricane rips through an island nation with such unimaginable force that nothing stands in its wake. Such power was once unthinkable, almost impossible. But now that we've seen it with our own eyes, we've heard it with our own ears, we're astonished with fear. Because something like this is far beyond our feeble understanding. If truth be told, that's the way of Jesus' miracles too. Later on, past our reading, just a little bit, the Pharisees want another sign from Jesus to prove that he is who he says he is. I guess miraculous meals for thousands and making a deaf man hear isn't sign enough. But isn't that the way for it, for us sinners? It's always the way of it, isn't it? The sinner always wants a sign from God of his own making. That's what he wants. What God seems and deems to be good and right and salutary is usually anything but in our eyes. We want grander and greater and more specific to our specifications sort of things. If you are who you say you are, Jesus, then prove it to me how I want you to prove it to me. Make this fleece wet. Now make it dry. Let me walk on water just like you. Dance for me, Jesus. Dance. But Jesus doesn't work this way. And so we're usually kind of left doubting because he doesn't do things the way that we want him to do them, the way that our sinful flesh thinks that he should. Why stick fingers in this guy's ears? Touch the man's tongue with his spit. Sure, we could try and figure this out. Better men than me have actually tried, have put forward different hypotheses and different thoughts on the matter. Some think it's cultural. Some think it might even be medicinal. But the truth is, it doesn't matter. Not in the least. The best that we could probably take away is that Jesus works in ways that are completely and utterly mysterious to us. But he works nonetheless. And this is where we should keep our focus. Not get bogged down in that high grass of speculation and rational logic. Instead, we should just be satisfied with the things Jesus does and the way that he does them, the words that he says, the fact that Jesus actually works salvation. And when he works, he actually uses stuff in order to help us understand and comprehend, and yes, in order to allow us to actually receive the things of the cross. That's the way that Jesus actually works. He uses things that we can touch and see and hear and taste. It's almost as if Jesus comes to us humans knowing that we're humans and that we're in need of this touchy, visual, auditory, tasty stuff. It's almost as if he knows what it means to be human, as if he created us out of nothing, as if he's actually taken on our flesh and works in us and for us through these specifically human flesh ways. Bottom line is, this man can now speak and he can hear. Where before was a man closed off from all sound, now stands a man open to the hearing of Christ Jesus, speaking words into his ears, words of healing. Ephatha, be opened. And this man is opened. Ears to hear, tongue to speak. The consequences of a fallen world just disappear in the presence of this Jesus guy who does all things well. Is there anything more to it than that? Quite literally, this deaf and mute man has Jesus in his ears and Jesus on his tongue. Sound familiar? It should. For how is this man any different than you or me? There he is, cut off from hearing anything whatsoever until Jesus comes along and places himself in this man's ears. And what could come from this man's mouth except incoherent babbling until Jesus came and touched his tongue with his own flesh and blood fingers? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever. He does not change. His ways are the same. His dealings with us are the same, too. In the midst of healing this deaf and mute man, Jesus sighs a great sigh. It's the same sort of sigh that just a little bit later in our text, he sighs when the Pharisees ask him for another sign. This is the sort of sigh that speaks volumes. For that's the reason, the whole reason that he came to earth, why he took on our flesh, why he went to the cross. Not to heal a deaf man just for the sake of healing a deaf man, although that is good and gracious in and of itself. And it's also not to be able to win an argument with the Pharisees so that he can keep them in their place and he can walk around with a pompous head held up high. Jesus, God in the flesh, came into this world to do away with sin and all of the consequences of sin. The sin of closed ears and hardened hearts. The sin of unbelief and self-righteous, sanctimonious superiority. The sin that leads to the death of the flesh and the death of the soul due to a bound-up tongue that can't, that won't, by faith, speak the name of Jesus. It's that sort of sin that can't be done away with by anything other than a flesh and blood Jesus doing flesh and blood things like dying and rising and speaking and feeding and putting himself into people's ears and on people's tongues. Before Jesus came to this deaf and mute man, his deafness, his muteness, were but mere symptoms of his greater disease that he had, that all of us have. Tell me, what in reality would this man gain if all Jesus had to give him was the healing of his bodily features, his literal mouth and ears, and that was it? But to the fallen man and all of us, that's what seems to be most important, isn't it? That eerie and tonguey stuff. We want more signs. We want greater signs. But all of that's nothing without a faith that grasps on to a Jesus that saves us from more than just our physical ailments. If that's all that we think about Jesus, that he's someone who takes away the temporal afflictions and makes everything just hunky-dory, then it's better to keep all of those things done in secret. For hearing a lie about a name-it-and-claim-it Jesus is worse than not hearing about Jesus at all. The crowd was astonished at Jesus because he could make a deaf man hear and a mute man talk. These are indeed great and astonishing things. But I ask you something. What's more astonishing, more unbelievable, more difficult to actually accomplish? Giving hearing to a deaf man or opening up your sinfully closed off ears to the word of salvation, the word of forgiveness, free and clear, grace for you, apart from any work that you could ever do. And what's greater? Jesus making a mute man talk by touching a finger to his tongue, or him placing his own flesh and blood upon your tongue to bring you to life and salvation and forgive all of your sins? May your ears be opened to a Jesus who does all things well. Not just the things that make sense and the things that we think are best, but the things of eternal importance that frees us from sin and death and damnation. For Jesus works for you today in much the same way that he worked for this deaf and this mute man in our text. Jesus comes today for you with healing. He comes with real forgiveness and real life. Jesus comes with a real and true word of forgiveness. Jesus, that word made flesh, really and truly in your ears today. No different than that deaf man in our text. Your ears are now open to his words of salvation. He speaks Ephatha to you. Be opened. Hear his word of forgiveness, that word of life, over and against this sin that brings death and unbelief. The death of no gospel for you. The death of you're not worthy for the forgiveness of sins won on the cross and spoken over you today. That's what Jesus has come to conquer. And you need no greater sign than his word proclaimed in your ears. That this flesh and blood Jesus died on the cross with your very sins in tow. There's no guilt too guilty that his death doesn't kill. And no shame too shameful that his blood can't cover. And no sinfulness too sinful that his forgiveness can't forgive. Don't ask for any greater sign than Jesus and his cross. You don't need one. Maybe you do. Goodness, I do. I know that I do. I know that I need that assurance constantly, daily, weekly. I need to know that He hasn't just left me here all alone, that He cares for me in each and every single one of my weaknesses, that He loves me to the point of death and back. And goodness, I hate to admit it, but sometimes I need that just more than from a spoken word from a pastor, because I'm a sinful person, and I know that pastor is sitting in that same sinful, unbelieving mess that I am. So good. Makes no matter. Jesus knows this about you, about me, about all of us. And so He gives us the assurance that He knows that we need. We just saw it today. When in a watery grave, Jesus buried Emma right there into His death and His resurrection for forgiveness of sins and life and faith. Right there, Jesus washed upon her tiny little forehead. And He continues working in His weird and unbelievable sorts of works of salvation. Him on your tongue, His fleshy bread right there for you. Take and eat. Him on your tongue, His bloody wine poured down your throats. Take and drink. Jesus on your tongue. Just like that mute man in our text. Your mouth now opened to speak words of faith. Words like the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer. Words like, "Forgive me, a poor, miserable sinner," and "I believe, Lord, help my unbelief." Words like, "The peace of the Lord be with you always," and also with you. All of that is Jesus. In ears, on foreheads, on tongues for salvation and forgiveness and eternal life. Jesus, this Jesus, truly does all things well, doesn't He? Not just because He healed a deaf and mute man thousands of years ago, but also because He brings a sinner like you and like me the forgiveness of sins, won on the cross, in touchy and feely and tasty things in our ears. And on our foreheads, and on our tongues. In the name of Jesus.